Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Leif Hetland, has been teaching a seminar called Destined to Dream. And there's such an impartation where you are beginning to dream visions with God that you were destined to do. But this needs to be released in most people. Leif, you said that you're having the time of your life with children and young people when you share this message. Tell me about some things that have happened recently to you.
Just a couple of weeks ago, that's the first story that comes to my mind. I was in a small little country church in Alabaster, and during the service, just some unusual things took place because people just came up to get healed and to get saved just in the middle of a time that was not invited, both in the middle of the sermon and worship. God just started to move in the middle of everything. And one young girl, when I looked at her, I could see that what the world would look at her is damaged goods, either because of mishandling or shipping issue, road damage. But the world would not see this package as very valuable. She has been through a lot in life. And she was a teenager. But she came up and gloriously gave her life to Jesus. And I didn't think too much about it. We had, I think, 10 people that just in this country church that just got saved just as the presence of God was there, and many people healed. But when the service was over, this is what kind of got my attention about the dreaming and also dreaming with God and to see the destiny. This girl came up to me, and she just hugged me, and tears in her eyes, and she says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was thinking, well, you've already said thank you after you got saved earlier, I was thinking. And she said, I got to see my mom. I said, your mother? And she said, yeah, yeah, all my life I wonder where my mom is and what's going on with my mom. And the next moment, she said, I got to be with my mom, and I saw her. And I'm the one that has sloped maybe some of my Baptist background, because I was a Baptist pastor for these years, and I said, describe it to me. And she described the encounter she had with her mother. Her face, her countenance had been totally transformed. And literally, I said, wow, so you were taken up to heaven. And you were 2 years old when you lost your mom, and you have not had any dreams. You have not had any desires and passion, and you're wondering what's wrong with you. And now I can see your face. Your passion is back. Your vision is back. You got to see your mom. And I just wept. And I also wept because I realized I didn't understand what just had happened to this girl. I mean, she just got saved, and I know there is belief.
She got saved at that service?
In that service, yeah, and she didn't know.
Was she one of the ones that walked up in the middle of the service?
She was. She was. And the reason I'm saying that, she reminded me where I call damaged goods people. It's almost like a package that has been mishandled by others, that in the culture doesn't have a whole lot of value, where people actually think you can get them very cheap. The way that she was looking, somebody that has been used and abused, but it is somebody. God saw the diamond and rough in this girl, and first of all, he saved her, but second of all, he knew that there was something since that two-year-old girl always wanted to do, wondering, questioning, and as a result of this one encounter in that meeting.
So she was translated to heaven. And saw her mother, which is something she always wanted to do. Did her mother die when she was real young?
Yeah, 2 years old. Ah. Her mother died when she was 2 years old. So she had no picture of how her mama looks like or anything else, but she's always wondered, if I had a mother, how she would look like and everything else. And she had an encounter. Jesus brought her to her mother, and she got to have a meeting with her mother. But it changed her countenance. That's why I was so surprised.
Could you picture, if you were a young child and you began to dream with God, what you could accomplish? Tell me about the children real briefly in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Well, Erie, Pennsylvania, I was doing a conference in a place called Isaiah 61. And as I was going to release over the adults, in the middle of the service, they say, do you mind just take a few minutes to come into the children's church? And what I did was I just came in and released the presence of God, just released the dreams over the children. Actually, some of these kids are very active, but all of the children ended up on the floor in the presence of God, and they just lay still. I went back to the service, and I didn't know what had taken place. And I continue to preach, and sometimes I can be long-winded, like some of the audience probably can figure out by now. And then there was worship and praying for people and all these things taking place. Probably close to an hour and a half to 2 hours later on, I finally asked, how did it go with the kids when I prayed and what happened? And they said, they are still out in the spirit. And I started to hear all these amazing testimony. And I think the oldest child, there must be 7, 8 years old. Most of them were from 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. But that room was covered.
Tell me one specific testimony you heard from that meeting.
Well, the biggest thing there also was some of them drew drawings and some of them just described Jesus spoke to me, or they saw Jesus. It's kind of the childlike way where some of us adults sitting would question. And I think that not so much from that meeting, but another meeting that was very specific of this one little five-year-old child. When grandma just asked this five-year-old, I can see her face right in front of me because that's probably my favorite one. And she just came to grandma, and grandma said, what happened? Because she never sits still. And she said, you lay there for all this long time. And she said, I got to sit on his lap, grandma. And grandma said, whose lap? She said, Jesus. And she started to describe the experience. And grandma just started to break into tears because she knows that there's no way she's going to lay still for that long. And second of all, she knows when that girl starts to describe, it is maybe a little bit more than fantasy when she described the encounter that she had had.
You think that's amazing. Tell them very briefly the story of what happened at the Harvest Assembly in Chesapeake, Virginia, about the chalk drawing.
Yeah, and I have the chalk drawing here in front of me, but I was actually releasing, and we were praying, and we were having a service in big church with my dear friends at Harvest Assembly of God. The children is in another area of the building, and I'm describing this Muslim woman. It actually was years earlier in big church, and I'm describing her village, and she had never heard the name of Jesus. It just came over me. As I'm describing that, I had tears in my eyes, just describing something that I felt came fresh on my heart. What I didn't know while I'm describing it and presence of God is there, is on the other side of the building, sovereignly speaking, Jesus is showing up and is touching the children. Many of them are out in the spirit. And then the testimony, I don't know how many testimony I have, but I have a whole long list. But my favorite one of these was they sent me the drawing, and this one girl taken up to heaven drew the very drawing of that Muslim woman, of an angel, of the village in Pakistan. How would a child, first of all, draw that well, and second of all, describe the very thing that we had in big church? And it was actually the children's pastor and the senior pastor sent it to me. They came in and just shared what the different children had seen, what they had experienced, and what they encountered. But the drawing I carry with me everywhere I go because of the amazing impact that we are in one area of the building.
But it gets even better than that. She saw an angel coming and giving the Muslim woman a new heart.
Yes.
You know what? You release such a spirit of creativity on people of all ages. But there's something that on my notes I want you to tell me about. You have a God-given call to reach Muslims with the gospel, but you see these Muslims that become believers having an impact on Jewish people. Tell me about that.
What I'm seeing that is taking place, I believe that love is the language the blind eyes can see and the deaf ears can hear. My biggest thing when I go to the Muslim people is not to try to do anything else than love them unconditional and to give them a Jesus encounter. But what I see is happening is similar like a Saul. When something has changed in their life after this encounter, when they see how I love the Muslim, it also changes them when they've had this love encounter, where eventually what used to be a worldview or what used to be eyeglasses, the way they saw the Jewish people, they suddenly now are similar like Saul that became a Paul. They now are viewing everything differently. They do not have the hatred. They do not have the dark. We can talking about, I could bring you with me, Sid, and we could sit down with some of the top Muslim leaders, and you will find that some of them, the way they view you, you will be surprised by the hospitality and the love and everything else that you will get because of the love. And many of them is not saved yet.
Wait, but isn't that the same thing that happened with you? Like, for instance, you were struggling with healing in certain areas, and when you pray for people in those areas, they get healed, and then you got healed. Well, when these Muslims who hate Jewish people get genuinely, radically saved, the thing that was their weakness becomes their strength. They have a great love for the Jew in Israel.
Yeah, I really do believe, and I shared, I think it was Janie that just asked me, and she said to me, Leif, what is your word for Israel? And I believe that the best way I can love Israel, and I just talked actually to a Jewish friend of mine in Dallas, and I shared, I think the best way I can help and support your people is to bring the love and the light of Jesus to Iran, Iraq, and the whole Middle East, and bring it in.
Oh, we're out of time. If you like this teaching, wait till you hear this recording at a live seminar called Dream Your Destiny, in which Leif will release your ability to dream again with God. We're making this available for a gift of $24, Shabbat broadcast. Let me pray over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechech Adonai ve'yishmarech. Ya'er Adonai panav elech v'chonech. Yisar Adonai panav elech ve'asem lech shalom.
To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.